In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the second Sunday of the Holy Great Fast. The first Sunday was last week, where we read the scripture passage when the Lord is speaking about that we should be laying up treasures in heaven instead of treasures on earth. And it was a preparation for the entire Great Fast to kind of remind us of why is it that we are doing what we are doing. We are laying for ourselves up treasures in heaven rather than treasures on earth. We are trying to sacrifice and give up something in our fasting in order to focus more on the heavenly life and the heavenly reward rather than the earthly pleasures that we are seeking. And today, in the second Sunday, we read about the temptation of Christ to show us that all of us who try to pursue such a life, to pursue any kind of asceticism, who desire holiness, who want to fast and want to pray and want to grow closer to God, that we will experience all kinds of temptations where the devil tries to derail us and to make us feel like all of our efforts are in vain and to retract us back again to the world. And so today we read where the devil is tempting Christ three times before the beginning of his ministry to try to understand who he is, but also to offer him something that would derail his ministry so that he could not start and begin and to be who he was and to fulfill the mission that he was called to do. So I want to speak a little bit about some of the lessons that we can learn from the temptation of Christ. Because it's a very interesting story to read of how is it that God himself is tempted, and as a human being, what is it that we can learn from this story. The first thing that we learn is that temptations are explicitly allowed by God. Sometimes we think that when we are being tempted that we are in a state where we are so separated from God because of the intensity of the temptations against us, and that somehow we are isolated and apart and divided from God, or that God is far from us, or that God even has abandoned us, because he allows us to experience all manner of temptations that maybe even cause us to fall. And some people who struggle with sin, maybe a specific sin that they struggle with over the course of their life, they think maybe that God has left them, God has abandoned them, or God hates them because of the sin that they fall into, the sin that they commit. But actually, we read here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." So who is it actually that led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted? It was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who brought Christ in the place of temptation. And so also we can think that even though we pray to God, and when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Lead us not into temptation." But there are times when God sees that temptation is necessary for us. It is not because God wants us to fall, but because God wants us to struggle, and God wants us to rely on him, and God wants us to turn to him. He wants us to see that this is something that actually could be for our benefit. A person who is challenged, a person who is always feeling like they don't have it all together yet, is a person who is humble and is a person who continues to strive and to work and to try to grow. Why is it that a person would fast if they think that they're already perfect? The people who fast are those people who call out for God's mercy because they believe that they are sinners and they want the mercy of God. So God allows us to go through periods of temptation, and we see this very clearly in the life of Christ, that he was allowed to be tempted, and it was something explicitly good that he would be tempted, not just for us to see it as an example for us, but the Holy Spirit led him to this. It was something necessary, and is also something necessary for us when we enter into times of temptation, especially very difficult temptation, that is something that can be edifying, that can help us to grow. The second lesson we learn is that temptations come even to those who are the strongest. Is anyone stronger than the Son of God? Is anyone more resilient than him? And yet even he experienced the temptations in the flesh. No one is beyond temptation. Sometimes people think that because we have experienced enough things, or because we have enough knowledge, or because we have grown enough, or because we are mature enough, that somehow we are going to be immune from temptation. Or some people think that temptation is only for people in a certain state of life, or in a certain period of life, or people who maybe have grown up with sinful tendencies or have certain weaknesses. Actually, we all are liable to fall. If you look at someone like King David, for instance, King David was a holy and righteous king. He is the one that we read about who had the faith to stand up against Goliath. He's the one who had the faith to not kill Saul when he had the opportunity to, because he felt that this is the Lord's anointed. He is the one whom God said about him that he is a man after my own heart. And yet when all the circumstances were right, we see that King David committed adultery and murder. So who of us can say that we are better than King David? If he could fall, then certainly any of us could fall. Temptations come even to the strongest, even to the holiest, even to the most righteous, even to the saints. Even today in the Synaxarion, we're reading the story about the saint who was kind of warred with this temptation with this girl that was seeking after him and lusting after him, and how it was a struggle for him. And he had to fight and war against it so that he himself would not fall. So temptations come even to the strongest. Also, temptations can come at any point in life. This temptation we read about of Christ happened when he was 30 years old. We don't know, of course, how Christ maybe was tempted before this, but this very explicit temptation happened when Christ was 30 years old, when he was already a man and he was an adult. Some people believe that because they have not already fallen, that there is some guarantee that they will not fall, and they let down their guard. Maybe people who have gone through their youth and stayed in the church, and gone through young adulthood and stayed in the church, and gone married and stayed in the church, and had kids and stayed in the church, and went through all of these phases, and they remain close to God. They think that because that I have experienced all this and this has been my past, then that somehow that means that I'm guaranteed the same moving forward. But actually, temptations increase over time. They don't decrease. Some people think that the strongest temptations we feel are actually those of youth. But I think actually in many cases the strongest temptations are those of adulthood or those of old age. And maybe temptations actually get harder and harder and really test our discipline and test our commitment and test how faithful we are to God, even when the things around us are falling away, when things are getting more difficult, when our body is more aged, when the struggles that we have increase. This is when we are more liable to fall into temptation, when life becomes more difficult and we don't have as much support maybe as we had at the beginning. So temptations can come at any time. We don't say that after we pass a certain threshold or period of life that somehow we are now safe. No, actually we are never safe. We are always under the threat. And so we always turn to God and cling to him in faith, asking for his mercy. Also, temptations come when we are at our weakest. It says that the temptations came to Christ. It says when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. And it was at this point of after having fasted for 40 days that he was attacked. And maybe even if any of us would think that if it would be possible for us to fast for 40 days, to do some kind of very extraordinary spiritual act, to be the ones who are, standing in prayer without ceasing, turning away from sin, reading the Bible more than we ever had, doing all the things that is good, that are spiritually edifying to us, and it was in this moment then that the devil seeks to attack us. Maybe the times where we think that we're the strongest, but actually we are weak. Saint Cyril of Alexandria said, then the devil draws near to tempt him, expecting that the feeling of hunger would aid him in his innate wickedness. For oftentimes he prevails over us by taking our infirmities to aid his plots and enterprises. Again, he takes the times when we are weak, he takes the time when we are sorrowful, when we are suffering, when we are tempted in all kinds of ways, when we're exhausted, when we're stressed and tired. Those are the times where he seeks to attack us, and maybe he prevails over us the most during these times. And yet, of course, we see that Christ did not fall in any of these temptations, despite having this weakness, this hunger that he had, and yet this was not enough even for him to turn the stones into bread, which is what the devil told him to do. He refused to do this. He said, I will not do it just for the fact that the devil is telling me to do it. I will not do it. So what are some reasons that God allows temptations? The first is to test us. Though God already knows us, and he doesn't need to test us. He doesn't need to test us to know. You know, like when a student takes a test, it's because the teacher wants to know what the student knows, what the student has learned. But God does not need for us to be tested for him to know us. He tests us so that we know ourselves. So that maybe we think we are going through life and we are fine and everything is good, and yet we don't really know ourselves. We don't realize that if we were put in just the right situation, we would fall. You know, maybe we judge others. We judge people who are prisoners and criminals. We judge people who have fallen into all kinds of sins and adulteries and lusts and thefts and curses and every sin. Maybe we look at people that suffer from struggles and sins that I myself don't suffer from, and I judge them and I feel like I'm stronger or better than them. But actually, there is no person under the right situation would not fall. Again, if King David could fall, everyone can fall. All of us can fall. Maybe God is just protecting us from the fall and shielding us from it because he has not allowed us to be in that situation. He has not allowed the exact combination of circumstances that would put such pressure on us to cause us to be the ones to fall, even to commit murder, that maybe all of us are capable of this. And yet, maybe when we look at ourselves, we think, no, there's no way that I could fall into such a sin. Actually, maybe we all can. And God has protected us from falling because he has not allowed us to be in such situation. We see the example of Abraham slaying Isaac. We see the faith of Abraham because God tested him in this way. Maybe without this story, we would have just said Abraham was a faithful man. Abraham left his home and he went and followed wherever God told him to go. But we see the story of Abraham slaying Isaac and how he was so willing to go and to obey and to follow, even though this is something that he absolutely hated to do and would never want to do and could not understand how God could even ask him to do this. And yet we see his face manifested. So this was a test of faith, and Abraham passed the test. God also allows our temptation to purify us. In Zechariah chapter 13, it says, I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God. If we are honest with ourselves, we will find that the times that we grow the most in our spiritual life is the time when we are the most in need, when we feel the most struggle, when we have maybe big problems, things that are overwhelming, pains and sufferings and sadness and sorrows and regrets and all kinds of things that we don't know how to deal with ourselves. It was in those times that we turn to God and call out to him because we feel like we are unable on our own to deal with it. Oftentimes we feel like the problems that we face, we can deal with it. We've dealt with it before, we can deal with it again, we know how to manage different things. But every once in a while will come a test or a temptation that is far greater than what we are able to manage, far greater than what we're able to deal with. And it reminds us of our weakness and makes us to call out to God and seeking from him what it is that we need. And in this we are purified. In this we turn away from sin. In this we seek God more than we seek anything else, and we begin to transform and change. And so one of the reasons that God allows testing is for us to be purified and to be transformed. The third reason God allows temptation is to teach us how to call upon him in fervent prayer. Many people will say, my prayers feel cold. My prayers, when I stand to pray, I like force myself to pray, and I don't feel focused in my prayer. I'm distracted. I feel like I'm doing it against my will. I don't really feel like I'm talking to God. Many people will say that their prayers are like this. But in the moments of very, very strong temptation and trial, maybe then it transforms our prayer to be something very real, that we are talking to God with fervency, with real need and with real desire, calling out upon him, asking for his mercy, not doing it as like a duty to be performed, not doing it because we are told that we should be doing it, but doing it really calling out to God, seeking from him what is it that we need, because we feel that our lives are crumbling without it, without the presence of God with us. So another reason God can allow temptation is because it makes us realize how real God is and how much he is listening and how we can call upon him in prayer. The last reason that I'm going to mention of why God allows temptation is to show us how dangerous the world is. Sometimes we go through life thinking that life is just about me enjoying myself, enjoying the things that are in it, setting goals and meeting the goals and succeeding in my goals and pursuing the things that I desire and being happy, and living our life as though this is not a war, as though we are not in the midst of a battle. But a person, certainly, if they were to live such a way in the midst of a battle, they would get killed. If you go out on the battlefield without any armor, without any understanding of where you are, without anything, you know, protecting you, kind of naively thinking that I'm not going to get harmed, I'm just going to walk on the battlefield and in the minefield with, you know, explosions and bullets and all kinds of things going on around me, but I'm not going to get hurt. It's a very naive view. And maybe this is what the devil wants us to believe. He wants us to believe that this world is a vacation, that this world is just a place for us to pursue our desires and to enjoy ourselves till the very end. But actually it's not. All of his attacks, whether they are overt and clear, like we see in the gospel passage today, or whether they are very hidden and secret and difficult for us even to discern, they are always present, and he was always fighting against us, and he doesn't want us to even notice or realize how we are being tempted. The worst kind of fall is the slow fade. It's the one where you gradually, over a very long period of time, gradually fade away from God and go astray very slowly, little by little, without even realizing it. And then we find ourselves so far away from where we should be and weakened. And then in that moment, the devil pounces on us and we have no strength to defend ourselves because we have separated ourselves from God. That is the most difficult type of fall, because you find yourself not even knowing who you are, not realizing how is it possible that I kind of reached the state that I am in. So when God allows very clear temptations, he actually reminds us of how dangerous the world is. He reminds us how dangerous the devil is. He reminds us how much he seeks to destroy us, as St. Peter says that he is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so when we remember the danger of the world, we kind of wake up a little bit. And we're like, you know what, this life is not a vacation. This life is not just about my needs and my desires and my goals. I have to be very careful, and I have to live very intentionally. And I have to live with like this kind of mindset of being watchful and alert, always protecting myself lest I fall again, because the battle is long. And Christ said, he who endures to the end will be saved. The one who continues to fight all the way to the end. So today we learned several points about the temptation of Christ, what can we learn from it, and how, why is it that God allows us to be tempted? And it is something we should be expecting. And during the rest of the great fast, for all of us who are struggling in the fast, we will find temptation, and we will find the desire to break the fast. And the fast not just being a fast about food, but a fast regarding all of our interactions with one another, a fast that is reminding us of the importance of prayer, our spiritual struggle, and everything that we do. It's something that we should always struggle and remember that God is with us, and those of us who struggle will be rewarded in the end, and glory be to God forever. Amen.
Our Father.